Yeah, my name's Mickey and I'm an addict.
Hi, Mickey.
I'm an addict with a disease of addiction. I haven't really got a lot of time to share. You know, I've got lots to share and I ain't got a great deal of time to do it. So what I do, and I'm going to try not to mention any particular drug. And I will mention parts of my story, but that's just because I find that I need to do that tonight because that's how it is. And you know what I wanted to put across as well. I done a chair here last year, and you know when I listen to it today or I listen to it, it just makes me cringe because you know it was part and parcel of me putting some action into this program. Getting a program and doing some work. The way it is for me, the way I come into these rooms and when I picked up that first key ring, you know, I didn't pick it up because I had a desire to stay clean. And my story started round the corner and it started in Charing Cross Police Station. And it's just round there and a little bit about my using, you know, I picked up once when I was 12. I've got a succession of days. I've got a succession of weeks, I've got a succession of months, I've got a succession of years, and I've got a succession of decades. And I didn't get any days clean. And, you know, it's quite fortunate to know that I've got the disease of addiction, because it's quite handy to know that if you're going to work a 12-step program, because it treats it. You know, I've got two options. You know, I've lived one life, and now I'm living this life, and... you know, that's how it is. And, you know, a lot of people... But, you know... When I come into these rooms, I was here for all the wrong reasons, and you know I was on a swerve, and you know when I picked up the white keyring, because about my using, you know at the end of my using when I come here, that says enough, because I was in a room where I was judging everyone, I was in a lot of pain, I thought everyone was different to me, and I had to suffer that, you know, and that's how I ended up here. I done a chair here last year, and I said in it I might do some step work. but fortunately that I got on a CD, because you know when I hear people saying, well, you know, lots of the stuff I say here tonight is what my sponsor says, you know, because anything I would say that he didn't tell me is really irrelevant. And what I've done, and he says as well, he says about the hearing problem. When I got that CD, and I listened to that CD, and it started, and it said, and it went, my name's Mickey, I'm an addict. I thought, that's not me. Don't sound like me. And that CD really drove me mad, you know. I kept listening to it, and I kept thinking about sharing back to myself and things like that. You know, because that's, you know, I was just very obsessive, you know, I drove everyone mad. I lost it for a year, in fact, it was right, quite fortunate. But you know, when I did listen to that, you know, when I was coming into these meetings initially, it was enough for me to come in, listen to the chair and go outside. I can't say it wasn't enough because I'm still here. And then it was enough for me to come into these meetings, listen to the chair, share back and then go outside. It was also enough at that time. And when I'd done that CD, this chair, and said, you know, I might do some step work, when I heard that, it made me really, really cringe. Because, you know, what I'd done what I'd done all my life, you know, I was just totally dishonest, and I didn't know. You know, what I'm up against here is I'm up against me. And you know, I'm hard work. You know, I think this disease, I speak this disease, and I live this disease. And so what I'd done, and when I was in treatment, you know, I got there, and they was all saying powerless. And after about 4 or 5 days of being there, or a little while after that, I thought, this is the key word. So I started banging it out. I started going, I'm powerless. I was getting results. I was going, I'm powerless, I'm powerless, I'm powerless. And I thought I had it cracked. And I bumped into a counsellor one day and he said to me, you ain't had a shave. And I said, I'm powerless. And I couldn't work out why he looked like he had the umph. And so I thought he must be just having a bad day. But then what I'd done, I left treatment and I come to London, but I started doing meetings in that time. I come back to London and I went into the meetings. And they was all saying they're powerless. So I was off again. I'm powerless, I'm powerless, I'm powerless. And then a fella was in the meeting and he'd done a chair and he went, I'm not powerless. And I thought, well, what are you doing here? You know, but he made sense. And he said, you know, and he said, you ain't in a meeting if you're outside. And he said a few things like that. And, you know, I'd be quite offended because I was waiting to go outside. And so what I'd done, and, you know, I asked someone to sponsor me who was sponsoring me. And, you know, I was just being totally dishonest in that. And, you know, and I had to go and, you know, and I sort of manipulated someone, you know, and was just doing what I'd done. You know, I just done what I'd done all my life, and you know, I didn't get nowhere. And I knew very. And my head said to me one day, it said, "Make one mistake, and I'm going to wipe the floor with you." But even that was a lie, because I was already made the mistake. I wasn't doing no work. And you know, but it something was there, and it sort of shook me up a little bit. So I asked someone else to sponsor me, and you know, he knew what he was talking about. And I liked the sound of being empowered and not being powerless. It really, really, you know, it sounded great, in fact. And you know, then he explained to me what the disease of addiction was. And you know, I believe 100% that I'm going to get through today without using. No, I do not doubt that. I do not question it. And if I want to know how well I'm doing in my recovery, it's my sponsor I really need to ask, not myself. You know, because, I just, I don't even go there. I don't even start asking myself that stuff today. Yeah, and, so what I'd done, I asked him to sponsor me. He gave me some suggestions of what to do for the next 30 days. And then he said to me, okay, you're willing. Are you ready to embark on this journey? And, you know, it's been the best thing I ever done. You know what I've done through working through these steps? In the last year, I've worked up to the ninth step. And you know what it does? It just boxes this disease in. You know, it's enough. There's enough power in this program and this fellowship that I don't have to use. But you know, I take my recovery really, really serious. You know, because I took my using really, really serious, and I didn't play in my using. So, you know, and what happened, and what I was doing for a little while, you know, once my sponsor explained to me what powerless was, I judged everyone in the meeting who said they was powerless. And, you know, every bit of work I'd done with him, I started judging people. And then when I've done defects, I was looking at people's defects. And you know, everything I've done is, you know, and do you know what I've realised what my illness does? It needs to get me out of myself. Looking wise, feeling wise, thinking wise. Needs to get me out, needs me focused on something else, someone else. And you know, people talk about, you know, if I don't go to a meeting for a week or I don't go to a meeting for 2 weeks, I can come out of a meeting and it can come on me. Very, very fast. And people say about if I took my eye off the ball, well, mine tackles me. You know, and if I take my foot off the accelerator, mine slings it in reverse. You know, and it's very fast, it's very cunning, and it needs to be treated. And you know, and I'm very aware of how to treat it. You know, and I do not question and I do not doubt the power of this program, because, you know, from the day I picked up when I was 12 till the day when I put down when I was 38, I didn't get a day clean. And, you know, and I believed I was an addict. And I was an addict, but I was an addict with the disease of addiction. And I've froze up now. So you know, I do the work, and I put in the action. And you know, I'm not always willing to do it, but I do it. You know, and I do it daily. And you know, you know, I'm in a relationship. And my partner, she's 12-step. And I work somewhere in a facility that's 12-step. You know, the people that ring me are generally 12-step. And my whole life really revolves around 12-step. But the difference is that one's my partner, one's my friends, one's where I work, and then this is what I do to recover. Because, you know, all that stuff will not keep me clean. And, you know, and it was, you know, and you know, people say, you know what, and what happened when I decided to do this, when I decided to do this work, lots of people who I sat outside with smoking with and things like that, you know, I had to pull away from that, and it was really, really difficult for me, because, you know, I want everyone to like me, and you know, and I really, really had to pull away from myself, you know, and... You know, a lot of them people who stood outside smoking when we ain't around today. And you know, we're not talking decades. We're talking a very short period of time. And you know, I bumped into a friend of mine about last Christmas, and from my using, and he said to me, Mick, I'm going into a detox tomorrow. And I thought, what a touch. You know, this is someone who was there from sort of day one, and he said to me, I'm going into a detox. And so about 7 months, 8 months down the line, I thought, I must see him soon. You know, he's got to appear. It's really good that I haven't seen him. You know, it's really, he must have got it. He must be in Weston, or he must be in Bristol, or he's in Bournemouth, but he's got it. And then I bumped into another friend of mine last week, who told me that the day before he went into the detox, he had a fix. And his dad found him 7 months later. And, you know, I know what I'm up against today. And, you know, I don't want to die. I don't want to die from this disease. And there's one way for me not to die, and there's one way for any addict with the disease of addiction not to die. And that's through working these steps, getting a sponsor, being honest, service, and not people pleasing. And you know, I come in here with absolutely nothing. Nothing. I'm not talking material, although that was nothing as well. I'm talking about, I didn't have no skills, I didn't have nothing to help me cope with life. I did not have anything I didn't have no education. I just didn't, you know, I was not equipped with anything. And, you know, I'm very aware of that today. I'm very aware that since I had that 12-step facility, and thought, you know what, I've really made a mistake here. You know, I thought, this is, you know, and since I was there, it was getting better. It didn't feel like it was getting better, but it was getting better, because I know now that it was getting better. And it just ain't stopped getting better. It just has not stopped getting better. I just hold on. This just took off. You know, and I love it. You know, people call me Mr. NA and da da da. Call me what you want. I'm just still holding on. And, you know, it's my birthday today, my natural birthday, and, you know, it's just unbelievable. When I started using different varieties of drugs, the first one I took, I thought I'd found myself. The second one I took, I thought I'd really found myself. The third one I took, I thought I've really, really found myself. The fourth one, I thought I've definitely found myself. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, so on, likewise. I know today I've found myself. A part of myself. But I needed to find a power greater than me to find that. And this is the 12 steps, and they say 12 steps, one promise. And you know what they talk about as well? And you know, I just need to add this as it goes, because they say, I'm really aiming for that 12th step. You know, I'm really, really want that 12th step. And they say, you know, you'll have a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps. But people say it could be any particular step. But you know what? I had it before I worked any steps. So I'm curious to know what they've got in that 12th one. Because, you know, I ain't stopped having spiritual experiences. And like my sponsor or my sponsor's sponsor says, it ain't as a result of working these 12 steps. So, you know, I'm really, really clinging on for that one. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, when I picked up that key ring, I had a desire to get out of a cell. And you know, I went to that Brixton meeting, and it was just so powerful. You know, I was totally dishonest. I was about 5 months clean. I had to get the 6 month one. I just had to get up and go and get it. And then the 9 month one, I took at about 8 months. And the year one, I took at about 11 and a half months, and so on and so on and so on. And you know, so you know, and you know what? I used to look at these key rings. And I wouldn't look at any of them other ones. I'd look at the black one, and I'd try and work out how they got it. You know, and when I had a couple of days or a couple of weeks clean, and people would say to me, you know, they'd go, how clean are you? I'd say, oh, 3 weeks clean. They'd go, marvellous or great. I'd think, don't patronise me. Because I didn't want a day or a week or 3 weeks clean. I'm an addict. You know, and so, you know, today I've, you know, and you know, again, you know, and I keep saying what my sponsor said, but you know what, it's all about not using for me. It's everything to do with not using for me today. I'll get up in the morning and my aim for today is not to use. And secondly, is not to harm anybody. And in doing that stuff, you know, it's just unreal. It's, yeah, you know, I'm an addict. I was going to say, who knows what's good for me, but that's not true, really. The sponsor didn't tell me that, by the way. You know, but I know this is really, really good for me because I feel it. I feel it when I'm going to work in the morning. And, you know, sometimes I think, God, I'm a straight goer. I think, dear, oh, dear. Do you know what I mean? It just, you know what, my family still can't believe it. They just still cannot believe that the way this fellowship turned my life around. I'm going to end on this. If you went to my parents' house and said, I'm collecting on behalf of charity or something like that, they'd say, no, sweet, don't matter. Don't close the door. If you knocked on their door and you went, we're collecting on behalf of NA, it's going to collapse, they'd bring you inside. They'd get all the money together they had in the house. They'd ring up everyone they know and they go, we cannot let this fellowship close. Because you know what, they get back a Tasmanian devil. You know what I mean? On a good day. On a good day. And, you know, I wouldn't, you know, I've got a life. And that's why I keep coming back. And you know, if there's any newcomers here, just keep coming back as well. It's going to be all right. Thank you. Yeah.